We were just talking about Carla Turner. What was her nickname, Candy?
Absolutely. She was Candy to those who knew her and loved her the best.
So what was she most famous for? What was the thing that she looked back on, or those cases, maybe plural, that she took the most pride in?
Her multitude of cases led her into one overwhelming conclusion, and that was that the abduction scenario with the gray aliens and the hive-like utilitarian component of the way in which aliens abduct people, the way in which they carry out the medical experiments, the way in which they basically dissect living beings, put them back together, and the way in which they wrought a lot of emotional damage from these abductees. She felt these were screen memories, that there was something far more nefarious, far more horrible, and far more hidden. That the gray aliens and the amphibian-style aliens that were described by Len Stringfield regarding the Roswell flight crew, and the kind of compassionate glow-white type of aliens, which are these glowing beings that seem to be able to communicate warmth and compassion and emotion, as opposed to what the grays were able to convey to the abductees. She felt that these were all screen memories that were implanted in people to hide a far more nefarious and dangerous truth.
And by this you mean kind of a smokescreen memory, sort of?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so what could she prove that? Was she able to get behind these cover stories, if you will? Because, I mean, you would think that if they were going to be given a cover story by the aliens, they'd give them a story that had nothing to do with aliens at all. If they were going to implant a memory, it would be that they went to Disney World and they had an e-ticket ride or something. I mean, why give them half a story to work with?
She felt that if it was too child-friendly or whatever like that, it would be seen through. She felt that humans possessed qualities that they lacked, but she felt that there was an underlying intelligence. There was a higher intelligence. There were times when she felt like it was a network of beings and times when she felt like it was a single agency that wanted something from us down, you know, deep down in the soul, deep down in our ability to convey feelings, our ability to experience things in a spiritual level. She felt like it wanted to take something from the human race, without giving something back in return.
Are those the qualities, the spiritual qualities? I mean, what qualities did they lack, did she think?
She wasn't sure. The screen memories were falling into specific patterns and trends, and she was trying to break through that. She was using a variety of techniques to help people reconstruct their memories, to help them recover from the trauma that this experience created. The trauma was very much akin to rape. But she felt there was a spiritual rape going on. She felt that there was a metaphysical rape trauma being carried out in a profoundly negative way. She felt that if they could harvest something from us and leave an empty shell behind, even if it destroyed the species, that it would do it with impunity.
You know, have you ever seen the movie The Forgotten?
Oh, gosh.
It just came out a couple of years ago, but I'm going to spoil the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. So if you don't want to hear the end of the movie, turn away now. But the premise of that movie was that aliens were fascinated by the connection between parents and children. It's something they couldn't relate to. And that that was just this ongoing alien experiment to try to figure out the bond that exists between generations. And I thought that was such an intriguing idea. I mean, I don't know how well they did it as a movie. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't terribly critically acclaimed.
If I'm interpreting what Carla told me correctly, she was very much concerned at what they were trying to do regarding manipulating our ability to not only commune with each other, but commune with our higher spiritual self. She felt that there was something, she didn't like using demonic or diabolistic terms, but she felt that there was something inherently evil, negative, and parasitical in the overall agenda that was going on behind the scenes. And she conveyed to me, and of course I never met Dr. Vallee or anything, but she conveyed to me that people like him were also starting to fall into that same idea that these gray aliens are like puppets. They are intended to be a screen memory to hide a truly terrible, damaging experience going on behind the scenes.
And how did she die?
Carla had liver cancer. And it's an amazing story. She was supposed to come to our wedding. And she had promised me in January that she was going to dance at our wedding. And our wedding was scheduled for February 14th. And she died 9 days later on the 9th of January. Now, she had told me if for any reason she didn't make the wedding because of her illness, that a bird that she loved, the seagulls, and you have to remember, this is very strange because she lives in the backwoods of Arkansas, rural Arkansas, but she had an affinity for Jonathan Livingston's seagull. She loved him. She just couldn't get enough of the seagulls on the California coast. And she told me that if for any reason she didn't make that wedding, when we went out on that boat, there'd be an extra friendly, extra not skittish, extra inquisitive, and a very large gull that would cruise alongside our boat. And when the wedding day came, it was very foggy with sun patches. It was like going out and getting married in the Bermuda Triangle. And we were running a three-point compass course in an 82-foot all-wood beautiful schooner by the name of the Kelpie. And she couldn't make the wedding. She had died on January 9th, and February 14th came along. And we were out in that fog and those sun patches, and all of a sudden the biggest mature gull that I had ever seen came right over the starboard gunwale, its wings literally, you know, almost brushing us. It was cruising along at an amazingly slow speed. I couldn't believe that it could maintain its, you know, level flight at that such a slow speed, but it was. It looked right at us. It stayed put around the boat. It circled the boat a few times, almost for 3 minutes, and then it disappeared into the fog, just like Carla had predicted would happen if she couldn't make the wedding. But she had sworn that if she had any say about it, she was going to dance at our wedding.